Welcome to the Confidence for Rockstar Marketers podcast. I'm Anna Iverson, a story-driven copywriter who helps you turn your stories into compelling marketing campaigns that generate obsessed megafans, not just one-off transactions.
And I'm Helen Walker, a no-fluff mindset coach who helps you throw away the beliefs that are holding you back, so you have the confidence to make your most audacious entrepreneurial dreams a reality.
On this show, we'll introduce you to the latest marketing strategies from cutting-edge industry experts, and we'll teach you how to overcome your demons so you can implement these strategies in your business right away.
If you're looking for straight-talking, no-fluff advice you can put into action right away, stick around and let's dive into the show. So every Sunday, I settle down with my laptop and a cup of tea and I crack on with writing my week's social media content. Now, to be honest, I've had to work really hard at building this into my weekly routine. And I still have weeks when I struggle to come up with funny and engaging content. And there's certainly times when I wish LinkedIn and Instagram and the like just didn't exist. Now, I'm not a natural when it comes to writing copy, so posting on social media consistently can feel like a right old slog. Now, thankfully, today's guest is going to help us all solve this problem once and for all. Brian Chikansky is an online funnel strategist and copywriter who's cracked the code on how to use automation to consistently generate new business week after week, in a way that fits your personality. Now he's going to explain how you can forget about that one-size-fits-all approach so you can create social media content that generates your ideal client, not any old client, in an authentic and easy way. So thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So like a lot of us online business owners, your path to copywriting wasn't a straightforward one, and we actually share a similar background in the financial industry. So can you tell us what made you leave your lucrative banking job to pursue a career in direct marketing?
Yeah, I mean, it lasted a little over a decade for me. So like you said, it was a well-paying job. It certainly paid the bills and allowed me to travel all over the place as well. Like spent some time in Hong Kong, lived there for 6 months, spent a lot of time in London. It was, you know, a good experience, and I think very much prepared me for what I'm doing right now in terms of like being very comfortable in a sales role. But I kind of knew almost not from day one, but very early on that, you know, it just wasn't a good match for me. I kind of went into it, you know, kind of for all the wrong reasons, or coming out of school, I just had no idea what I wanted to do. So obviously going into finance, something well paying, I always wanted to live in New York City. So it was, you know, one that I could, you know, live with my friends and kind of figure out along the way. And it just took me, you know, it took me over a decade to kind of figure that out. And I was kind of always searching for what was next. I just never could really figure it out. But I think at this point, like in that experience of going out there, and what I was doing was just selling investment products, just gave me a lot of comfort now and kind of being on sales calls, building those relationships with people, you know, putting myself out there. That kind of thing. Obviously, it's a little bit different when you're representing yourself versus like a major financial company. But it was one of those where I was always looking for what was next. I just never knew what it was. But in hindsight, it was a good training ground for what I'm doing right now.
Do you think it was a sort of a search for more purpose or more meaning in what you did? Because that's definitely what I felt. So when I was working in finance, it was a really well-paid job. And to be honest, I wasn't doing very much. I got paid a lot of money to go for lunch with my boss and sit at my desk reading the paper. And so I kind of went on this mission to try and find something that was a bit more fulfilling, and stupidly decided that the luxury fashion industry was where I was going to find more purpose. And that lasted about 3 months before I gave up. Okay. So I don't know if that was your experience as well with being in the financial world.
Yeah, I mean, I was selling a lot of stuff that I didn't like wholeheartedly believe in. So I kind of felt, you know, like kind of felt like a used car salesman, you know, selling lemons to people and just hoping that they wouldn't figure it out. So after a while, it was kind of like, even when I did win business, it just didn't, there was no celebration. Anytime I did win business, I almost felt terrible inside. And you know, like you said, it was kind of just like, is this all there is? And you just didn't know anything. I didn't know anything else. So it was just like, okay. Like you said, I wasn't working terribly long hours. I was kind of sitting across from a lot of senior people that were, you know, 10 or 20 years older than me, and they were kind of doing the same job that I was. And I kind of just sat there and was like, okay, I can stay in this job and continue to do it, but you know, there's no evolution to it. There's no real, you know, advance. I'd be working with more, you know, higher net worth and higher AUM clients, but you know, really doing the same job in terms of going out there and selling things. You know, where's this going to take me? Where's the next challenge? And I think that was really what I was looking for. So.
Your story really resonates with me as well. I mean, I probably like a lot of your clients as well, you know, being in that situation where you just think, is this it? Is this all there is? So you work with coaches now. What is their biggest challenge when it comes to marketing and attracting more clients?
Yeah, I think a lot of them that I work with, they do pretty well on kind of word of mouth, referrals. They just have not figured out the online marketing at all. Like they can, if they do, you know, if they meet a prospect in person, or, you know, they always tell me once I get somebody on a call, I close them 100% of the time. But the problem is they're not getting enough people on the call or that initial interest. So they're kind of struggling with building that, you know, that in-person authenticity that they can really build with prospects really easily. They're finding it hard to really translate that to the online space, and they just generally have no idea, you know, what strategies to take. So again, it becomes like, you know, they take a look at all the experts that are out there, and they just try and copy what other people are doing, and they learn that, you know, that's not a great fit for their own personal approach or what they're trying to do. It's not their authentic way of doing it. And that translates to not as much response. And they find it hard to kind of differentiate themselves from, you know, the thousands of other coaches that are out there. So it just becomes a commodity, like, how low can I price my services?
And I know that frustration, because in the early days of my business, I struggled with attracting clients because I just didn't know how to do it. I've never done any kind of, you know, marketing before. The sales I was brilliant at. So once I got them on a call, everybody said yes. But it was just that frustration of, if I could just get these people on the phone, you know, I could show them the benefit and they would say yes. But it's just so frustrating, isn't it?
It's kind of like, how do I break through the ice? How do I, you know, there's million, you know, everybody has like this, you know, everybody has a low attention span, but also like everybody has all these other things that everybody else is trying to sell them on, tons of other stuff as well. So it's like, how do you kind of raise yourself above all that so that people actually pay attention? And then when they do pay attention, how can you take advantage of that short, you know, time that you have to kind of really sell them on what might be right for them? And the problem is that in their audience, they have all these different people and different awareness, you know, spectrums, where people are ready to sign up right away, or other people, it might be 6 or 8 months from now, that kind of realize like, okay, this is a good fit for me. So like, building that relationship online is something that, you know, has to be set up correctly in terms of that process, but also, you know, just first getting somebody's attention and trying to build that way.
You've developed quite a unique approach to helping your clients build out their own funnel strategies. And I know you have quite an interesting story about how your method came about from your own frustrations with online marketing. Could you share that experience and explain a bit about how it came to shape your approach to funnel strategy?
Yeah, I think very similar to Helen. When I first started out as a freelancer, I was just like, you know, I want to get clients. I know I can do a great job for them, but it's like, how do I actually do that? So very much like the coaches that I see and like everybody else's, I kind of went out there and just started following like these kind of gurus and tried to follow their strategies that work for them. And I did, you know, go out there and get some clients from it, whether it was, you know, on LinkedIn or Facebook or those kind of things. But, you know, it got to the point where one day I kind of woke up and it was almost like going back to that financial job. I was kind of just like dreading having to go on LinkedIn or one of those and be like, it just didn't fit my personality and what I wanted to do. And what I kind of learned is like that client generation side is very much a part of the business. Like if you don't enjoy that, like, you know, you're not going to enjoy the whole thing, because it's a part of that. I think one of the things, you know, one of our colleagues, Mike Renard, kind of talks about using the analogy of kind of surfing. Like when you go out surfing, being on the board and actually catching that wave, you know, which would be kind of equivalent to getting working with a client, is like such a small portion of that surfing, you know, experience. It's all those other ancillary things that you have to enjoy as well. And kind of became like, you know, if I'm going to do this every day and I'm going to go out there and get clients, like I can't dread this. So I kind of have to figure out. And it was kind of like it was kind of like looking at my own personality, learning a lot about myself. And I've certainly done that. You know, this whole Corona experience has kind of been a personal development ride for me, and kind of figuring out like, okay, where am I spending my time? Where am I putting my strategies, and kind of finding what works? Like, what are those client generation strategies that I actually wake up and I really enjoy, and I can see on the other side that people are getting value out of it, regardless of if they become a client for me or not. So that's, you know, it took a long road, and I think very similar to Helen and probably yourself as well, is like you tried these things, but you finally got to the point where it's like, okay, let's stop wasting time and trying to follow everybody else's stuff, and let's find the approach that really works and is reflective of my personality. And when you do that, you know, that's where a lot of the engagement came back. That's where I got a lot of good responses, because I felt like I was being authentic in how I was going out there and getting clients, and I, you know, that passion for that was kind of coming through. And I see that very much with coaches as well, is like, once we find that kind of process that really works for you, whether it's getting on a video, whether it's YouTube or Facebook, or, you know, whether it's going back and forth within a Facebook group, or, you know, there's so many different avenues that you can take in setting up your client generation, that you kind of just have to find that. And when you do, it you know, that's kind of where the faucet, you know, turns on from you. And that's where you have kind of an overwhelming amount of, you know, clients coming your way.
That's quite interesting, because a lot of the gurus, in inverted commas, that both Helen and I have followed, when it comes to the kind of daily grind of posting on social media or creating content, the advice is almost just suck it up, because you ain't going to get any clients any other way. And for a lot of people, like you said, it becomes like a day job that you dread having to go on social media again and having to create something again, or write another blog that you know no one's going to read. And nobody says that you don't have to do all the stuff. You just do what works for you, and it's all right to not do all of that. But I like that you take an approach that's tailored to your client's individual strengths, rather than saying, right, you're just gonna have to swallow this and you're just gonna have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see that with both of you as well. Like, you know, when you guys post on LinkedIn on a regular basis, you can see that just how much fun you are in terms of like writing it out, and, you know, not taking yourself too seriously, but you can see that when you sit down and actually put that out there, that's kind of reflective of, okay, you actually enjoy doing this. And it's kind of the same way, if you dread something, then that's gonna, maybe you're not doing it purposefully, but it kind of comes through in that your content is just not as engaging. It's, you know, you don't put as much vulnerability in there and that kind of thing, and you don't get as much response. And that's what you see all the time. I talk to coaches where they're just like, I've posted on Facebook every day for the last year and all I get is crickets. And you take a look at their posts and it's kind of like, you know, inspirational quotes or just something that is just very high level, nothing really about them personally, nothing about any stories that they're telling. You know, there's no real personality to it. They're not really showing anything that differentiates them from anybody else. So when you do that, you know, that's, you know, the typical response is not getting any response. And I know that frustrates people. And as they get more frustrated, they kind of push away. And that's when they try to do even more stuff. And when you're trying to do even more stuff, you kind of stretch yourself through too thin and get to the point where, again, you're not getting the response that you're looking for. So I think focusing in on the, you know, the few things that you really enjoy and putting your whole heart into that is kind of the way of, you know, getting that response. And I've seen that with clients, prospects kind of along the way. I've seen people that do Facebook Lives every single day and they put their personality out there. They show kind of everything about them, and they've built entire businesses based on that. Just a short 2 to 3 minute video every single day.
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, for a lot of people, like getting on video or putting yourself out there is just absolutely terrifying. And I was kind of the same way. Like, video was something that was terrifying for me. But like 2 years ago or something like that, I did like a video challenge where we had to post a video every day on Instagram. And I still remember those first couple videos where I was just like, my hand was just kind of shaking and I was trying to figure out like, what the heck am I going to say? And, you know, as the month went along, you just get a little bit more comfortable and you do, you know, towards the end, I was doing just one take and, you know,
I'm still waiting for that day to come.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it might not be for you, and you found stuff that works for you, and that's kind of just important. So, I mean, and I've certainly had that as well. It's like, I've had clients where they're, you know, I would mention video as a great way to build a relationship, and they're just like, I'm not comfortable doing that, and that's fine. There's plenty of other things that you can do instead of that.
I think it might be news as well for certainly some of my clients and some listeners to this podcast who can actually believe that one day this is going to be fun. This, you know, you will enjoy doing this and it won't feel such a slog. You know, these are people who maybe have just started their business, or, you know, they're just moving into starting their business. And it might be a case of, you know, getting their first client or getting their first couple of clients. What would you say, you know, is working well? Where should they think about starting when it comes to online stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I would say number one, you kind of have to get a focus on one specific area of the market. If you're trying to market to absolutely everybody, then your message not really going to resonate with anyone. And that's really tough. And I know, you know, I know Anna's gone through it. I've gone through it where, you know, some of our common coaches have always pushed us to being in a specific audience, a specific specialty. And I've gone through periods where I focus on specific audiences or a specific specialty and just learned that, you know, just through that trial and error that it hasn't worked for me. So, I mean, I think that's the fear going in is like, if I narrow myself down to a specific audience and I learn that I don't like those people or it's not the great fit, then what do I do then? I have to start all over again. But going through that process, maybe failing a couple times along the way, it's going to get you towards that audience that you want the most, that expertise that you can really put out there, that, you know, unique selling proposition that you could talk about. So I think just in the process of kind of narrowing it down to looking at maybe the things that you're interested in, where that lines up. And I think the biggest thing is that you'll learn that the clients that really are attracted to you are very much like you in their background, in their life, that kind of thing. They're like your raving fans, the first 100, the first 1,000, like those are the, you know, they're almost going to be a mirror image of you in some way in terms of your background, what you like, that kind of thing. So if you're just going out there and just being yourself, you're going to find so many people just like you that are kind of just attracted to you just because of common interests. They resonate with something in your background, whatever it is. So I think recognizing that, like, number one is that, okay, you have you're differentiated above everybody else just because you have a unique perspective and a unique background, and that's enough. It takes kind of a leap of faith at the very beginning, but it's worth doing and kind of just saying, okay, what's a specific market that I could go out there and target and, you know, call myself that expert in, and, you know, along the way that might not be the greatest fit, but I think you'll find by doing some trial and error along the way, you'll find that audience that works for you.
I'm so pleased you said that, because that was something that I'll hold my hands up. I struggled with for way too long in my business. I kept hearing it that you know, choose an audience to focus on. I was going, no, like, why would I want to put all my eggs in one basket? That's crazy. And there was part of my mind going, I know this makes sense, but then there was another part going, no, don't do it. And my message was so diluted. I was trying to talk to everybody because I didn't know who I wanted to focus on. And as soon as I got super specific, everything became really easy. Writing content was really easy. And like you say, when I sat and thought about who's my ideal client, when I was writing it down, I was thinking, this is me. This is me I'm describing like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, you might not know who you are at the very beginning anyway. Like it takes some time and going through that. Like when I first started like in a copywriting or something directly to that, like I started out doing Facebook ads and my first market was dentists, just because I sat in my own personal dentist chair and he talked about how he was kind of struggling with getting new patients and he was trying out this Facebook thing. And so I was just like, okay, let me just, I had somebody that was like interested in it. So I was just like, okay, let me just go in all in on dentists. So you know, this guy must so be, funny. You know, like, you know, he must have all the, and they did have that problem of like trying to get patients.
As a coach is more interesting than dentists. Is that why you flipped your,
I mean, I basically just learned that over probably a year long, probably took me a year to kind of figure out like, okay, dentist is probably not a good fit for my personality. You know, like, I generally don't like talking about teeth and that kind of thing. So just like, that kind of goes back to like the scary part is like trying to narrow it down, but like you kind of learn like, okay, the dentists are the worst possible fit for me. So like, let me figure out a little bit more about who might be a good fit. I've gone through that where I've selected the wrong market, but there is kind of lessons learned and some benefit.
You can change, can't you? You don't have to. That was my fear. You know, what if I went for that audience, but actually I discovered it was that audience I wanted? But you can change. You know, I've pivoted. God, I've lost count, you know. But now when you find your niche, you go, this is it. This is where I should be.
I think I used to have roughly a monthly conversation with Helen about her ideal client. She used to send me a message and be like, God. I've got another question about my ideal client.
Learn the tricks to building rockstar confidence so you can uplevel your business, achieve financial freedom, and live a life you love on your terms.
Download my free Empower Playbook and start building the confidence you need to achieve levels of success you never thought possible. Grab your free copy by clicking the link in the show notes.
So you go way beyond just writing copy for your clients. I know you also help them overcome their limiting beliefs around connecting with a buying audience and making more sales. So can you walk us through a couple of the most common limiting beliefs that you come up against? And what's the process that you go through with your clients to help them get beyond those?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it kind of speaks to my own background of especially in my 20s, I was kind of my own worst enemy. And that kind of steered me away from kind of pursuing, you know, obviously getting out of the financial world, but also kind of just doing a lot of the things that I knew I could do, but there was just fear, anxiety, fear of failure that kind of came through as well. And I see that very much with a lot of coaches that are out there, especially in kind of the personal development space, where they're almost coaching people on things that they are struggling with the most. It's the same thing for me. Like I'm kind of walking through people that I've just absolutely struggled with. And I've spent so much time reading like self-help books and, you know, getting coaches myself to kind of work myself through it and kind of just to get the courage to do certain things, whether it's start my own business or just go out there and doing the outreach that is necessary. So I think a lot of it comes down to kind of like digging into your own story and being, I think with all coaches a lot is like, how can I, you know, start talking about my own story in a unique way, especially talking about some of those vulnerable moments, those stories that you really don't want to tell. Are those stories that your audience desperately wants to hear? So I spend a lot of time just kind of talking through with coaches, like and just kind of inspiring them to kind of share those stories that they never thought they would share, and kind of seeing that transformation that happens when they do share them. You know, seeing all the engagement they get, and you know, seeing the client inquiries and all that kind of thing, and just being comfortable with that. And again, being comfortable with their own skin, getting a better idea of who they are and who they want to work with. I recognize that people have those fears, and I had them the same, but are you willing to transform yourself, kind of recreate yourself a little bit so that your audience can get to know you a little bit better, whether it's on video or on social media or wherever it is, have to be willing to, and you know, so I'm very much kind of, especially working with even mindset coaches, I'm kind of their mindset coach along with their copywriter in that, you know, I'm kind of encouraging them to kind of tell the stories that they never thought were worth sharing. And seeing kind of the response that comes through that, and just making sure, you know, giving them that, encouragement to continue to do the outreach. I think that's what a lot of business owners don't do, is they're not persistent with that outreach, just because there's tons of rejection. So that's probably one of the biggest things for me, is just that fear of rejection that comes through when people are saying no, or even worse, you get no response at all. It's just kind of very debilitating. It's kind of like, can I really do this? Every coach that I've worked with is really great, you know, a really great coach. They have the testimonials, they have the success stories, but they don't always believe that in their own mind or in their own heart. So what helps with that is kind of bringing out some of those success stories that they never thought possible. I did work with like a coach earlier this year where she had a lot of great success, but hadn't really spent the time like going back to her past students and seeing how her materials or program or course had really changed people's lives. And that's what we did. We spent like went back to five of her past students and just let them kind of tell their story and how her course kind of changed the path of their lives. And it was, you know, just her listening into that and me kind of answering their questions and bringing out their stories was kind of an inspiration for her to get out there and do a little bit more outreach as well.
I remember when I first, it was just a throwaway comment really at the end of a session with a client. And I just said, oh, you know, I'm off to see my coach now. And I can just remember her reaction, because she was like, what do you mean you're off to see your coach? You're a coach. She was like, surely you've got all your shit together. And I'm like, no, you know, and she was like, well, what's wrong with you, in inverted commas? And I was like, well, you know, imposter syndrome. She's like, what? You know, and she couldn't quite believe that a coach would have imposter syndrome. And I was saying, well, I was thinking, you know, this kind of fuels the passion, doesn't it? You want to help people overcome what you've overcome. You know, like you say, when you start, because with imposter syndrome, you don't want to tell anybody you've got imposter syndrome, because it fuels that, well, I get found out and they'll think I'm not very good at this. So it's like this vicious circle, isn't it? But actually, once you like come clean and tell everybody, you know, I've got imposter syndrome as well, and this is how I overcome it, all of a sudden, people love you and you're relatable and you're just like them. And they could almost say, well, if she can do it, then I can do it. And then clients, it's like a magnet, isn't it? You know, this authenticity. Clients are just like, can I work with you, please? Because I want to do what you've done.
Yeah. And you see that very much with like, you know, people's stories. They go out there and they just kind of tell their bio, and it's kind of just like this whole long list of success stories. And it's just like, okay, that's pretty boring. Like, you know, how, you know, you're doing what everybody else is doing and trying to just like talk yourself up. But if we can kind of change around your story and really getting down to, you know, kind of at the same level of your prospects and kind of in very much in very easy ways, just saying, I've been in your shoes before without actually having to say that, but really sharing some personal moment or some level of experience that you've been in those same moments, so that they're kind of reading their story and they're kind of, you're sitting in that, you know, kind of moment, that key pain point where they feel their pain point the most. And again, you're kind of hitting them at an emotional level, but you're also giving them hope that they can kind of move on to the other side because you've been able to do it. Not to say that you've completely gotten over, and a lot of those things like imposter syndrome and everything else. And I always thought like coming in that fear would just like, you'd eventually get to the point where you'd felt no fear. And that's kind of like the biggest
misnomer
out there. Like you're always going to have it there. Like imposter syndrome is always going to be there, but your relationship with it, it's going to be more like a dance rather than, you know, this brick wall that's in front of you. So I think it's kind of getting to the point and again, sharing those kind of false beliefs with your audience and saying like, okay, I'm not the perfect person, but I've been through what you've been through and I've been to the other side and I have a process that can get you to the other side.
And you know, and you don't have to know everything. You just have to be a couple of steps ahead of where your client is now to say, look, you know, that's where I was. This is where I am now. You know, and that's just classic imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, especially with the people just starting out, and I had it too, is like you're your own best testimonial starting out. Like just telling your story is the best way of doing it. Like just sharing what you've been through, especially those hard moments, but also how you kind of overcame them is inspiration enough to get to the point where people want to work with you. And then as you go along, sharing some of those success stories, which kind of are the icing on the cake, but you have to be your own, again, your own best testimonial and being willing to share that. And most, you know, like 99% of people aren't willing to share that. So right out of the gate, you're differentiating yourself by doing that.
It's just a mindset shift, isn't it? To be able to think like that and allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean it's terrifying, but it's one of those that like I've definitely a lot of times now I just write a story and I send it out there and I, you know, I put it on Facebook or LinkedIn or, you know, whatever content you know, site I have it out there, and I just hit send, and then I don't check it for, you know, I just don't check anything for you know, a week or something like that, whereas everybody else is constantly seeing what reaction they get and all that. You kind of have to like almost like separate yourself from the engagement that you get back or responses, or being like, okay, I didn't get enough likes and then I, you know, in the first 30 minutes they must have hated it. Like just put yourself out there and be willing to just let it settle and kind of separate yourself from being able, you know, like always just hitting the refresh button and did somebody comment on it? Did somebody like it? I have that a lot with like building my own YouTube channel. Like obviously building it from scratch, you obviously don't get a lot of views or subscribers from the very beginning, but it's just kind of in that volume of just putting more and more stuff out there. It comes like this boulder that is continuing to compound, and that's where kind of the interest and engagement comes from. And you just have to be willing to kind of go through that process and not get stuck on, you know, this one video, this one story, this one blog post didn't resonate, so I'm going to sit here and be gloomy about it. You kind of have to, you know, put that next thing out there and see what works and get an idea of what really resonates with your audience.
So it's been kind of a weird time over the last 6 to 8 months, particularly in your hometown of New York. So how has COVID affected your business and your clients' businesses? And do you have any advice you can give to business owners who are still trying to get to grips with the changing landscape?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's completely flipped my life upside down. I think it's been, you know, it's been obviously a challenging time, but it's been a blessing as well. There's so many things that came out of that which have been so good, and nobody really talks about, obviously, during this challenging time, how many great things have come out of it. I mean, been able to spend so much time with my family, like, you know, in terms of like my productivity, like where am I putting my time? I basically got to the point in like April or May where, you know, like my work time has probably been cut in half as my two kids who are 1 and 3 years old, you know, daycare is not really an option and probably continues to be not an option for me just because I'm not comfortable sending them out back. So I'm kind of doing the daddy daycare during the day and trying to, you know, work during the kind of night hours when they're sleeping, which isn't great productive time for me at the very beginning, but I've kind of had to just figure it out. And along the way, I've kind of just learned that, you know, spending more time with them has been a blessing. I think you've seen that with everybody else as they're trying to figure out either working from home or this different environment where they don't have that face-to-face interaction. So definitely have seen, I mean, as a copywriter, as a marketer, it's a great time to be in the business and you're kind of seeing an overwhelming amount of opportunities just because people, they don't have that in person. They don't have live events to go to. They don't have those traditional things that they're used to. So they have to figure out this online marketing space. And you know, as we've talked about, a lot of them kind of struggle with that. So, you know, they're always reaching out for help and trying to figure out, you know, how can we make that a little bit better? How can I start from ground zero? All those things. So just having a lot of conversations on a day-to-day basis. I think what I've kind of struggled with is how do I kind of allocate my time appropriately? Like how do I, you know, in the reduced time that I have, where do I actually spend that time doing? Just because I tend to be a scatterbrain a lot of the time and trying to get my hands in a lot of different things. But I've had to get to the point where I've like, okay, I've got to just focus on 2 or 3 things a week and kind of get that done and kind of be a little bit more focused. And some weeks I'm better at that and other weeks not so much. So it's been a challenge, but I think, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, I think we'll look, you know, in some ways I'll look back and say, you know, that was a pretty great time. It taught me the foundational skills, not only in terms of like time and focus management, but also like, how do I want to structure my day in terms of like spending more time with my kids, but also, you know, getting some productive time and working with those clients that I want to the most.
Yeah, it's definitely been, it was a big eye opener for our family because we were running around all over the place taking the children. They'd go to school and then they'd go to after school activities. And then at the weekends, there'd be more activities. When you're stuck in that cycle, you're just kind of existing through it and you just keep going and going and going. And then when it all suddenly stopped, we realized that actually that we're very fortunate where we live. I live in the middle of the countryside and we've got a load of fields and woodland around our house. And so the children, because we had nothing else to do, we started foraging and the children discovered all these amazing berries and edible herbs and things just growing on our doorstep, which we would never have discovered had we not had that time. And then when the world started opening back up again, we just decided, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're not going to spend our weekends going to this class and that class. They're not going to learn tap dancing and piano lessons and singing lessons and violin because they don't need all of that anymore. Yep. So it's been, for us as a family, it's been a really positive experience, definitely. I think it's given people a much needed pause.
It's just nice as well that, you know, all these people who wanted to maybe start a business, but, you know, thought they couldn't or it wasn't possible or, you know, how would they work with the kids? And I mean, I've always had the kids jumping on my back when I'm trying to do something. That's always been the norm for me. But it's just nice that a lot of my clients now can say, do you know what? I can do this. I can run a business. I can stay at home. Like you say, I don't have to miss out on milestones with my family. You know, it's just having this different and better life, you know, that suits what they want to do rather than this, well, you know, you've got to go to a corporate world 9 till 5 and do what's expected. It's just a nice alternative. You know, you've got options now.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, I guess for a lot of people, they just don't know what that vision is. And I definitely didn't know what that vision was and what does it become. And I think you, especially turned, you know, in this process, people, you know, you just didn't have choices. Like we had no other choice but to do it, you know, certain ways. Like we, you know, 6 months ago or a little over 6 months ago when the virus kind of exploding, like we had to move out of New York City just because we're, you know, we couldn't be stuck in our little tiny apartment for months at a time. So we had to, you know, find different plans. And along the way, you had all these other challenges where, okay, I could sit here and complain, or, well, I did do a lot of complaining, but eventually got to the point where I was just like, okay, just have to, you know, eventually that complaining stops and you're just like, okay, where is that getting me? So like, let me just take challenges as they come. And it's, you know, it's made me a better business owner, freelancer, that kind of thing, just because you're always going to have those issues, problems that pop up. And it's like, okay, do you get paralyzed by them, or you just kind of take them and expect them and, kind of move along and benefit from them along the way.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed working with people during this period. And just seeing what options are available to them, just changing how they think and realizing what is possible. So I'd just like to say a big thank you, because that has been absolutely amazing. This has been such a especially for people who are starting their business or in the early stages of their business, this is going to be super useful for them. So thank you very, very much. Now, before you go, we like to invite our guests just to play a little game with us. We call it Confidence Rockstars, Would You Rather? Have you ever played this before, Brian?
I haven't. This is probably where the tough questions come. This is where the questions
This is where it gets serious.
There you go.
So all you've got to do is shout the first answer that pops into your head, okay? And we'll try not to judge you for it. Okay, so this is serious. So would you rather have the power to read everyone's mind, but no way to switch it off, or have everyone else hear your thoughts out loud?
Definitely hear my thoughts. That would be great for them.
A bit of insight, eh? What would they hear?
I wouldn't even
maybe we shouldn't
that,
even yeah. go there, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather commit a terrible crime and get away with it, but live in fear of being caught, or get jailed for 2 years for a crime you didn't commit?
I'd probably take the jail for 2 years.
Would you rather be forced to live in the same place for your entire life without the ability to travel, or, this is interesting one actually for you, or be forced to move to a new city every 2 weeks?
I mean, that's basically that's been my life for the last 6 months anyway. So
that's reality right now.
I could move every 2 weeks. Yeah, I've been through that, so I can do that.
Right, we'll let you go from our evil clutches now, but it's been really fun having you on, and I hope you're not going to need too much whiskey to get over the trauma.
Thanks again to Brian for sharing those amazing insights. We hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did, and you feel inspired to share more of your personal stories so you can connect with your audience on a deeper emotional level. And if you're looking for a way to uncover your own story, I've created my free Rothority Playbook. It's an interactive workbook that helps you write a unique origin story you can share just about anywhere to turn your lukewarm leads into obsessed mega fans. Head to www.confidentmarketer.co.uk and pick up your copy right on the homepage. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to keep up to date with all our future episodes, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Or share us with a friend that you think will benefit from our content.